Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
If you've listened to Open House for a while, you'd be well aware of the issue of modern-day slavery and human trafficking. Many good people have been interviewed on this program over the years about the kind of work that's going on to raise awareness of the issue and to bring slave traffickers to justice, even to change national and international laws. Kelsey Wilson is among those working hard to put an end to human trafficking. She's from an organisation called International Teams, and she's with us on Open House. Kelsey, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good on you. We can tell by your accent already that you're not from Australia, from the United States?
Yes.
Where was that?
I grew up in Seattle and spent a number of years in Los Angeles there.
What drew you here?
I married an Aussie.
Irresistible, aren't we?
Yes.
You've been working in the area of human trafficking for several years. Mm-hmm. Where?
First in Los Angeles. I worked for the Salvation Army there for a little bit, coordinating their anti-trafficking ministry in Los Angeles. And then in Athens for 2 years in Greece, working with women there in brothels and on the streets who some had been trafficked and others were working of their own accord there.
I think a lot of people listening might just not get how significant and how real this problem mm-hmm. is around the world.
Mm-hmm. That's very common. A common response that I get is that it can't be that big. It doesn't happen here. It's something that happens out there in Asia or, you know, it's not related to my life. So
yes,
it's not a big issue.
What kind of numbers are we talking about? Are you able to quantify the numbers of people affected?
Look, they say the estimates are anywhere from 12 to 27 million. I've heard estimates recently about 27 to 30 million people in slavery around the world today.
So where are those people and what are their circumstances? Because as you say, we imagine this is centuries past,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that it's going on, where are they? What is their life like?
They're everywhere. And I think when we think of the transatlantic slave trade, there were about 80,000 people trafficked during that time total. If you look at the statistics for today, we have about 800,000 people that are trafficked every year across international borders. So to answer your question, they're everywhere, in every country, in big cities, in small towns. You can find them anywhere. And it takes the form of sex slavery, domestic servitude, forced labor. You can find them in number of industries as well.
So you're living a comfortable and no doubt pleasant life in Seattle in the United States. What drew you to this in the first place?
I really don't know. I had been drawn to women who were broken in this way, and I worked with an organization called New Horizons that worked with women in prostitution. I volunteered for a while at a shelter for homeless teenagers, and there found that a number of the girls there on the streets were involved in prostitution. So I guess I just started feeling something in my heart for these women who were broken in this way and who were being abused and exploited in this way. And so since then, there's always been something that's driven me toward wanting to help them, wanting them to understand their value and their worth, wanting others to understand their value and their worth, because often they're looked down upon and seen as choosing that kind of lifestyle or as trash or as somebody that they can just use and abuse. So
in this job, members of your teams, what are their day-to-day roles? What do they do to help out in this way?
We've got a team in Athens that I was a part of for a couple of years that does street outreach there. So a few times a week they are going into brothels. They're going to the streets where women are working. So visiting with Eastern European women, Greek women, there's African women who are working on the streets there, talking with them, bringing tea and literature and biscuits and just offering them a solution, a way out if they want that.
Is it dangerous work or is it fearful work? Because this is a trade
mm-hmm.
and it's threatening the trade.
It can be. Ultimately, it's cheaper for a trafficker to go out and bring another girl than to deal with us as foreigners and as people who are trying to help the girls there. So as sad as that is, it's
yes,
true.
It is.
And
yes.
Yeah, we've never had any serious incidents there. So thankfully.
Yes. Ending, I think it's important to say, ending modern day slavery is not just about heroic people walking into brothels and rescuing girls who are trapped in prostitution, locked up in an upstairs room, though I'm sure that does happen. There are also many other forms of slavery going on where you go.
Yeah, there are. I mean, you can find people in hotels, people in homes working as domestic slaves, textile industries, construction industries. I think the issue of sex slavery, and particularly here in Australia, has been given the spotlight. And so people are aware of that. Most of the laws up until now have dealt with sex trafficking. But there's a lot more labor trafficking that's happening than people are aware of. And so people are starting to focus on those and make laws and legislation to do with labor trafficking. But that's something that people are fairly unaware of, just because sex trafficking, the horrific stories that we hear, those are the things that have gained the spotlight over the years.
So the labor trafficking you categorize as slavery, others might see what's happening and say these are people earning a wage.
Some earn a wage. You're right. Some earn a wage, some don't. And there is a fine line between labor violations and forced labor. So sometimes it's a case-by-case basis, but whenever there's exploitation happening for someone else's gain, and that person either, you know, might not be free to come and go, they might not have their documents with them, they might not be earning any wage or a very small wage, a number of those could lead to it being a trafficking case.
Yes. I'm sure there's great frustration and disappointment as you see firsthand some of this stuff going on.
Definitely. It can be a very discouraging industry, I guess, to work in. Especially when I was in Europe and just seeing the great number of women there who have been trafficked for sexual slavery, and knowing the numbers, knowing the statistics of the people around the world, and just thinking, I'm one person, or we're a small organization or a church or whatever the case may be, what can I do? So when you look at it that way, it can be quite discouraging.
At the other end of the spectrum, though, I'm sure when you help people, what a tremendously rewarding thing that is.
Absolutely, and that's what keeps you going, I think. Just being able to help one person or two people. For me, seeing the change in their life that's happened is worth it, makes it worth it.
Can you think of one person that kind of illustrates what can be done and how people can be helped out of this scourge of a life?
Yeah. When I was living in Athens, we met a woman named Marcela, and she was in her early 20s. She's from Albania, and her boyfriend convinced her to move to Athens to get jobs and support themselves better, since there were no opportunities in Albania. So they moved to Athens. They tried to find jobs for a little while. After having difficulty doing that, he persuaded her to try prostitution to earn money for them both. And so he ended up forcing her to do that. She was working in brothels for a while, handing all her money over to him. And he, in turn, would send all the money home to his wife and kids back in Albania that she had no idea existed. So after she found out about his family, she tried to extricate herself from the situation and was finally able to leave him. But at that point, was so broken and just really didn't believe that she was worth any more than that. So she worked in prostitution for herself for a couple of years on the streets. We met her. She was in jail. She had been deported and smuggled herself back a couple of times. But over the course of a couple of years, she finally made the decision that I hate this lifestyle. I'm not this person. I don't like this person that I have become. Working through some of the other areas in which she was experiencing bondage and just being trapped in that situation.
And you were alongside her for all of this time.
Yeah. We helped her walk through this. She started coming. We would meet with her regularly. We tried to connect her with some Albanian Christians in the area. And so she eventually moved away from that. She became a believer. She's been working in different work, different jobs.
Yes.
And it is hard to see as I watch her struggling, doing hard work, washing dishes, cleaning restaurants, things like that, knowing in the back of her mind that she could make a month's worth yes. of that wage, yeah, in one night on the street, but determined not to go back. So, but her story and a couple of other girls that I've met have just been what keeps me going, and seeing that God can transform and change and rescue people out of that lifestyle.
In that context, does prayer help? Is
Absolutely.
That part of your
Absolutely.
Work?
One thing that I like to tell people here is that when I moved to Athens, there, the ministry there had been going for a number of years, and only a couple of girls had been rescued. After I moved, and I can't take all the credit for this, after I arrived, the girls started coming out at a much higher rate. And that was because I really believe that there were some very strong prayer initiatives happening.
Yes.
A lot of people were praying. A lot of people were praying specifically for more women to come out, for trafficking rings to be busted. And a lot of more women were coming out. And some connections that we had with a shelter there and just other means to be able to help them also contributed to those things. But I really believe that prayer was the foremost thing that
have you ever been afraid? Because I do think in some ways this is a courageous work to undertake.
There have been a few times being out on the street or around brothels or in certain situations that it crosses your mind, because you know that people are always watching, they're always one step ahead of you.
Yes.
But we try and be safe and use wisdom, and so thankfully, we haven't had any incidents happen, and so I felt pretty safe. Sometimes you look over your shoulder a couple of times or wonder if there's somebody watching you go home, knowing where you live, things like that. They cross your mind.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It may sound like a glib question to ask, but it's I think, a very relevant one. Would you like to see more help from international governments to end human trafficking and slavery?
Definitely. I really think that the key to that is the demand side of things. And if we can put legislation in place to curb the demand, Sweden, you may have heard that Sweden has passed laws to make the purchasing of sex a crime rather than punishing the women.
Yes.
And that has really decreased the amount of trafficking to that country. A number of other countries have started to adopt those laws too. So I really believe that that government and legislation plays a very large part in eradicating trafficking.
Yes. Now, in December, there's a team on the way to Athens mm-hmm. to serve in End Slavery Ministries.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, there's a team that's going to be going. The focus will be outreach and training. So we want to be able to work with that street outreach team there in Athens, giving a little bit of exposure to what's happening on the streets and in the brothels there, as well as a lot of training there to talk about the background, what leads to trafficking, how to prevent it, the push factors from the countries of people who are vulnerable, who are to be trafficked, and then the pull factors of what's drawing them into the destination countries. So, and ways to care for ourselves in working in this ministry, other skills and outreach, things like that. So,
if there are people listening tonight who would be somewhat like you were those years ago in Seattle
mm-hmm.
and think, I'd really like to commit myself and become involved in that, how might they do that?
They can contact international teams. We are trying to start a prayer network around the area, around Sydney, to in churches and with individuals to be praying for these different issues. There's always the trip to Athens for someone to be exposed. International teams does workshops or different conferences in churches or with small groups, Bible studies, whatever that might look like. If you're interested in learning more about it and about what you can do, how to recognize signs of trafficking, even how to pray, how to start a prayer group, international teams can help with any of those things.
No matter where you are around Australia, it doesn't have to be Sydney.
Yeah, definitely.
So the website is www.iteams.org.au.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put those details up on Great. Our Facebook page. Kelsey Wilson, thank you so much from
thank
International
you.
Teams. It's a great work you do, and I'm grateful to have been able to talk with you about it.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.